Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose, is the queen of Corona.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. They watch them for the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook. Also, Let's Go Pensacola. He hosts that show for an hour on Saturdays at 4 o'clock. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. It ends with us. That's a movie, though, not a description of this show, right?
I hope so. Hey. I mean, you know, I would like for you to remain, you know, gainfully employed.
Aww. You're a nice person. You're so sweet. Is it a good movie? What's it about?
So this is an adaptation of the bestseller by Colleen Hoover, who is kind of one of the authors of the moment, especially, I think, primarily a female audience, I think it's fair to say. Although, you know, there's nothing that's, you know, 100% of anything. But this stars Blake Lively, best known as Lady Deadpool.
Oh, you're saying it out loud now. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's been
3 weeks, yeah.
We can say it out loud now. And there's been like a little bit of a push in the media to like kind of try to make this like another Barbenheimer thing where we have the male-driven film and the female-driven film, and these two people happen to be married to each other.
Okay.
And there's been a lot out there in the media with Ryan Reynolds, who is, of course, married to Blake Lively, and not just him, but Hugh Jackman. They're all very close friends, being out there in the public trying to, you know, support Blake Lively and her movie, too. She's a producer on this film, and, you know, they're just, you know, they're all friends, and they're all taking care of each other. And there's been like, oh, is this going to be another Barbenheimer? Because it's widely expected that Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be number one at the box office again this weekend. But there's this, like, this is probably the solid number two, and there's a big push for it.
Okay.
Wish the reviews were better for the sake of everybody involved, because they all seem like nice people, and I generally enjoy them. I like Blake Lively as an actress, but when she gets into this mode, I don't know what it is. I kind of tune out. There was a movie she did a few years ago with Harrison Ford called Age of Adeline that was just a waste of everybody that was in it. I hope this is a little better, but she is a woman who meets a guy, falls in love, but they recognize that there are like things that they're in their relationship that are duplicating the pattern of their parents, kind of an abusive thing. And then her first love comes back into her life and she has to make a choice.
Okay. Well, so, I'm with you. I kind of want for everybody involved to do well, but you know, at least they're you know, making movies. And in her case, she's actually in two in the same, you know, week, which is kind of an unusual thing.
I want them to do well, and I want them to do better.
I want them to do better, and I even want his soccer team to do well. Borderlands. I literally watched this ad when we went to see Deadpool Wolverine, and I turned to my sons and I said, "It looks like a video game," and they looked at me like I had been on another planet for 10 years and explained to me the nature of things. So, movie from a video game. Is it any good?
Yeah, it is very much a movie of a video game, and that used to mean nothing but terrible. Like, there were no good video game adaptations, but in the last couple of years, things have really stepped up more on the TV side, I think it's fair to say, with series like The Last of Us and Fallout, which have been tremendous, Emmy nominated and, you know, very well respected. And so I think the bar for video game adaptations has very much been raised. Unfortunately, this movie saw that bar and
limboed under it.
And ran off the other way. Not just ran under it, just like totally avoided the bar and went the other way. So a couple of things going on with this movie. It may well be a contender for the worst film to ever star two female Oscar winners after they've won their Oscars. So you've got Cate Blanchett and Jamie Lee Curtis in this.
Okay.
Now, in fairness to Jamie Lee Curtis, this has been sitting on the shelf so long that I think it was shot before she won her Oscar.
Okay.
So this was shot back in 2021.
Oh, God.
With Eli Roth directing it.
Okay.
Sat on the shelf for 2 years, and then in 2023, they went back and did reshoots with a different director.
Which is always going to work well. Yeah, go on.
Supposedly with Eli Roth's blessing, because he was busy filming Thanksgiving, which came out last year, which was a lot of fun. So I'm not blaming Eli Roth for this either. And then now we have this finally trickling out. I mean, you have a great cast here, not just Cate Blanchett and Jamie Lee Curtis, but Kevin Hart and Jack Black. You know, a lot of good stars in this. This has the potential to be comedy. If you've seen the trailers, they're obviously going for a Guardians of the Galaxy riff on this.
Yeah, it's what it seemed like to me.
Only problem is the only person that's ever done Guardians of the Galaxy successfully is James Gunn, and this is not a James Gunn film.
Got it. So it's
3% on Rotten Tomatoes.
3%?
Three.
I've never seen anything like that. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So that's a hard pass then. We are totally out of time, but quick thoughts on Cuckoo?
This is an A24 horror movie prestige. Looks really good. Getting pretty good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 79%. This is the one I've been looking for.
Okay, that's much better than the 3% Borderlands. And then what are you guys going to watch next week?
I believe we've got Alien Romulus coming out next week, which I've really been looking forward to. So another take on the Alien franchise, this from Fede Alvarez, who is a big director in the horror scope. So we're going to see how he takes it into science fiction with a horror tinge to it.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. You can always follow them on Facebook, the Pensacola Movie Club, and go watch the movie and talk about it with the folks. Also, Julio does a show on Saturdays here on News Radio called Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock. Julio, always good information. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
8:15 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that disabled vehicle with roadblock on East 10 Mile Road and Kim Strand Road. Disabled semi is blocking the southbound lanes on 10 Mile, but just some minor backups, maybe a 5-minute backup there. So just other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When I say BMW, Lexus, Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, they're good quality vehicles. You pay extra to get them because they're good quality vehicles. Imports, exotic, right? And yet you might think, well, I've got to pay extra to service them. I've got to go to the dealership. I've got to take my time, my gas, my extra cost to drive it if it is at a distance. Even if it's locally, it's going to be a little bit more, right? Because it's a dealership, right? Or you could take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway and now also on US 29 across from the Walmart. And the point is they work on those cars all the time. All the time. There's actually a federal law that protects you in being able to go where you want to for service. It's been on the books for decades. Domestics, sure. You know, they don't just work on the Porsches and the Mercedes. They work on your Chevys and your Fords too, no worries. Diesel engines, yes. Trucks work great when they work, and they don't work so great when they don't run great. But they can work on those. They're a little different than a gas engine, but that's okay. They can take care of those too. No problem. So whatever your vehicle is, they want to see it, and they want to see you for the little stuff. The preventative, routine maintenance, you know, avoid the big thing by seeing it when it's a small thing. That's kind of the idea. Like you bring your body to the doctor, bring your car to the Bobby Likas. It's very simple. Now located on US 29 across from Walmart in the classic location on Davis Highway.
My name is Rich Holsnick, and I'm a candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children to protect their innocence and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. We also need to retain good teachers. I'm a Naval Academy grad, a 28-year combat vet, and Desert Storm Task Group commander and pilot. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich in the August 20 primary.
Paid by Rich Holsnack, candidate for Escambia County School Board, District 4.
Flashlights? Check. Camp stove? Check. Canned goods? Check. Ice chests? Check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Conservative Republican Walker Wilson, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership. Wilson is a fiscal conservative who will cut taxes to give hardworking families and seniors on fixed incomes relief from rising prices and make life more affordable. Wilson will invest in infrastructure projects to ease traffic congestion and upgrade our aging stormwater systems to protect our neighborhoods from flood risks. Walker Wilson will fully fund the Sheriff's Department to keep us safe, work to give the sheriff the power to enforce our immigration laws, and push to recover the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on benefits to illegal aliens. Walker Wilson has deep roots here and shares our North Florida small-town conservative values. Vote for conservative Republican Walker Wilson for Escambia County Commission, Escambia County's next generation of conservative leadership.
Paid by Walker Wilson, Republican for Escambia County Commissioner.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the comedian and actor Vince Vaughn for his recent comments about Hollywood studios, all hail their highnesses. Appearing on the YouTube show Hot Ones, Vaughn explained why R-rated comedies like Blazing Saddles, Airplane, and Silver Streak, or even somewhat newer films like The Hangover and Old School, don't really get made anymore.
The people in charge don't want to get fired, more so than they're looking to do something great. So they want to kind of, you know, follow a set of rules that somehow, like, get set in stone that don't really translate. But as long as they follow them, they're not going to lose their job.
Now, dear brethren, sistren, and othern, I must confess that at first I was confused by this comment, since Vaughn seemed to be criticizing a development which, of course, we celebrate because we made it happen. Our movement has been actively working to destroy comedy and satire in America for decades, going all the way back to first wave wokeness, which at that time you probably called political correctness. Of course, we have always known that the key to controlling a culture was to make it scared to be funny, since humor is one of the historic sources of independence and the subversion of authority. The only laughter and joking we support is that presented by approved late-night comedians such as Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert, who exclusively serve our interests by targeting things we despise, such as straight white men, Christians, Republicans, the police, parents, traditional marriage, and of course, America. Although our movement still pretends to be revolutionary and anti-establishment, now that we have captured most of the centers of cultural power, we definitely want to suppress dissent, independent thinking, and of course, comedy. So when Vaughn decided to criticize studio executives because they've been successfully scared into defunding edgy comedies that offend our members and challenge the status quo, well, obviously, we had to cancel him. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Senator J.D. Vance, who, despite our best efforts to cancel him over the years for all sorts of reasons, continues to hold appeal to some people for reasons we can't even comprehend. This time, however, we think he may have finished himself off by finally alienating the most easily offended and most prone to overreaction voting bloc of the American electorate, childless cat ladies.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too.
Yes, the masters of offendedness, the level 3 certified identifiers of outrage, the North American Ministry of Childless Cat Ladies hath screeched their displeasure for this outrageous aspersion upon their character by Vance back in 2021. Clutching their pearls in one hand and their lace doilies in the other, the ministry has hyperventilated their postmenopausal fury upon the Republican vice presidential candidate, and rightly so. How dare he? But aside from deriding the fundamental right of those women to be as miserable as they want to be, Senator Vance actually had more to say on the subject.
And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
Now look, Need we point out that every citizen is entitled to participate in their government, and that obviously includes the childless, especially those highly conscientious reproduction objectors who eschew childbearing as a form of political protest against global climate change. So, of course, the non-breeders among us need a political party to belong to, and what better one for them than the one which embraces promiscuity through contraception, universal right to pregnancy termination, and the minimization of parental rights for those unlucky few who inadvertently make a baby or two despite our best efforts to talk them out of it. And just because people don't have kids certainly doesn't mean they don't care about the future. This is just another one of those long-standing Christian bigotries born from that horridly patriarchal instruction, be fruitful and multiply. As if monogamy, sexual reproduction, and children are somehow a sacramental method for participating in the nature, grace, and glory of God. What are we, Catholics? I think not. So childless cat ladies everywhere, unite! Turn off your soap operas, put down your remote controls, and beat your knitting needles into protest signs, for the kingdom of the childless cometh. And it is harder for a breeder to enter into the queendom of heaven than for a pregnant woman to pass through the eye of a needle. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we really couldn't be more proud of our local teachers around the country for successfully pulling off one of the greatest heists in modern history. They stole the alphabet song. And they stole it from parents by teaching an entirely new one to children without even telling the parents they would do so. Brilliant. As TikToker Mindful Teacher shared with us recently,
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Now I never will forget how to say the alphabet.
Now, I understand that for many of you, this rearrangement will come as a bit of a shock. But that's the point. This is meant to entirely disrupt the traditional child-parent relationship. These teachers just up and decided one day to change the alphabet song and then taught it to children without informing their parents, let alone getting consent. So now these kids just return home, like sleeper agents, waiting for the moment their parents try to sing them the old version and then correct them with the updated one, thus supplanting parental trust and authority with that of the teacher. Fantastic. Remember what von Hofenstein wrote in his seminal treatise, How to Replace Parents with the Government, Volume 3. If you ever have the chance to make children distrust parents, do so. If you can substitute another source of authority, especially a government representative for the mother, so much the better. Also remember your Ketterson's first rule of revolution. Change. Always change. For the sake of change. For all change is revolutionary. Thus, this new song is wonderfully subversive of parents and the known social order in general. Also, it has the added gaslighting bonus +4 because we can tell parents the new song was created to fix the errors of the old song, like slurring L-M-N-O-P together like they're one word and making some children think there's a second N nestled between Y and Z. Not only can we undermine tradition in parents, we can do so in a way that makes them doubt themselves, just like we did when we told them Pluto wasn't a planet anymore. Fantastisch, meine Kinder. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Five Finger Discount, resellers of only the finest shoplifted food and drink, specializing in canned goods, produce, and frozen burritos small enough to fit in a purse. At Five Finger Discount, they wage war against the capitalists by the redistribution of food and a theft-positive lifestyle that is the envy of no one. Five Finger Discount, you can really taste the misdemeanor.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I may have outdid myself this week. The queendom of heaven through the eye of the needle. Oh, you can really taste the misdemeanor. I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm really not. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. Even Highway 90 is looking good. I'm John Pickens with my traffic on the fives.
Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, officials in Austria say an 18-year-old Iraqi national is being detained in connection with the alleged plot to kill three Taylor Swift concerts. Or actually attacked those three Taylor Swift concerts in Vienna. The arrest comes after a 19-year-old Austrian suspect reportedly confessed that he planned to kill himself and a large number of people using explosive devices. A third person's dead from a listeria outbreak connected to a deli meat. Boar's Head recently recalled 7 million pounds of meat products following two other listeria deaths, one in New Jersey and one in Illinois. Hollywood's video game actors are still on strike after 2 weeks. SAG-AFTRA, which represents about 160,000 performers, is seeking the same protections against artificial intelligence that are given to the on-camera celebrities. The union says studios are not cooperating on that issue. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. 8:30 here, 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to have The Wrap. And joining us today, we're going to have Josh Newby and Lee Hansen. So it should be very interesting talking about, obviously, Kamala Harris's pick for vice presidential nominee. Tensions in the Middle East. I mean, Lee Hansen being, you know, a wing commander as a female in the Navy, like, you know, she may have a perspective on some of these things. She and her husband, Butch, are so great. So we're going to talk about all of that and see where we land. Also, we now look like we might have three debates with President Trump and Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris. We'll see what pans out, whether they will agree about the networks and the people doing the debates. And it's been an interesting seesaw with President Trump over will he, won't he, how many will he, does she have to become the official nominee or not. As I said before, he already knocked out one presidential candidate who wasn't even a presidential candidate yet. I wouldn't expect that Tim Walz can be knocked out by a debate with J.D. Vance, but hey, you never know. Cat ladies might unite.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A third person, 18 years old, is in custody accused in a plot to attack a Taylor Swift concert in Vienna, Austria.
Investigators say he was in contact with the main suspect, a 19-year-old who was arrested along with a 17-year-old on Tuesday, with authorities saying the 18-year-old confessed to planning to, quote, kill as many people as possible outside the concert venue using knives or homemade bombs. Officials say the foiled attack appears to have been inspired by the Islamic State group and Al-Qaeda, and that no more suspects are being sought.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, the Harris-Walz campaign spending $50 million on ads in battleground states ahead of the Democrats' convention starting a week from next Monday. A new one out today focuses on the vice president's upbringing.
She grew up in a middle-class home. She was the daughter of a working mom. And she worked at McDonald's while she got her degree.
Polls find former President Trump stronger on economic issues. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31, 81 degrees right now and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. A new community in Escambia County is giving residents a chance to not just survive, but live. That's what Vincent Scallion said yesterday when he moved into his new tiny home community in Pensacola. Fresh Start Village is for Scallion and other foster youths who have aged out of the system and are looking to start their next chapter of their lives. At yesterday's ribbon cutting, the new tenant, Vincent Scallion, told News Radio,
"This place is really... changed my worldview on things. This is, like, very liberating. I'm going to college now, okay? Like I said before, if you had asked me before if I was ever going to go to college, I would have said no. I would have said I have way better things to do than that. Now I'm going to college. I'm trying to open up my own restaurant with my brother."
The 400-square-foot homes come fully furnished, and there's a community center where tenants can get help with finances and health care. Since today's Friday, most people are looking forward to weekend activities, including heading to the beach. Well, earlier this morning, Andrew McKay asked Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief Dave Greenwood about the beach conditions.
Looks to be flat, mostly flat and calm, you know, yellow flag at a minimum. And just be aware that there are jellyfish in the water.
Yellow and purple,
and
it's
kind of hot. Use plenty of sunscreen. It's going to be hot. Drink plenty of fluids. You know, if you have any pre-existing medical conditions, you know, it's not a good idea to come out for a walk on the beach. It's a really hot. High heat advisory is in effect.
And speaking of hot and heat, let's check the weather forecast from Channel 3 to see if the weekend will be that way.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first 40 weather update. Mostly sunny skies today with a 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Temperatures very hot this afternoon, 97 degrees. Overnight temperatures dropping near 79. Hot weather continues for your Saturday, high near 95, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping the warm weather around for Sunday, 20% chance of rain, high near 94 and low near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. This report is brought to you by Staples Stores. Your local Staples Stores has hot deals and super low prices on everything for back to school, even technology. Save even more with the Easy Rewards program. at Staples. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow your drive in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, thanks, John. Well, temperature-wise, warming up, 82 at Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 79 in Milton at 834. The next news is 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And now let's check out what's happening in the financial world. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Mortgage rates are down. Tammy Trujillo has details.
The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged less than 6.5% this week, according to Freddie Mac. That's down since last week, 6.73%. It's also the lowest since May of 2023. The news comes as home prices remain sky-high nationwide. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And at the opening bell, Dow Jones averages are kind of in negative territory. The Dow is down 0.36% at 39,305. S&P 500 down 0.16% at 5,310. NASDAQ is down 0.04% at 16,652. That's your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Superintendent of Schools, and I lead 3,100 educators who are dedicated to the success of our students. Under my leadership, teachers have received an average of 16% in raises, moving the average teacher salary from 1.06 below the state average to 1.01 above the state average. We have procured over $17 million in additional funding for STEM and workforce education, and we have earned an A-plus credit rating. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance on your generator. Their Generac certified technicians will make sure your generator is ready when needed. Need a new unit or a replacement? Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric, a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical and generator needs. White Sands Electric.
My grandfather taught me, if you give a small man a little bit of power, you have a big problem. Well, District 1 Escambia County, you have a big problem. District 1 has a commissioner who helped authorize a retirement plan for other commissioners that was outrageously expensive and stopped by a lawsuit. It is time to get decisions out of back rooms. It's time for a change. Vote Steve Stroberger on August 20th.
Paid political advertisement by Steve Stroberger, Republican for County Commissioner, District 1.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Joining me here in studio today, we have Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, former PPD Chief. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's kind of been quiet this week.
And it's not necessarily newsworthy. We made some great narcotics arrests, traffic stop narcotics arrests, but that's just a small fraction of what we're going on. There's 721 employees, 430.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
I said a hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That means it's a chance to talk about the news of the week with a couple of friends that I have here in studio with me. Joining me today, the Executive Director of the Council on Aging in Northwest Florida. Can I say this any faster?
You really did that well. I don't think I say it any faster.
Josh Newby.
Thank you for having me. Returning champ, some would say. Returning rap champ.
We can say it. Who would say?
You say it to me personally.
Some who are also speaking at the moment.
That's
just
right.
Prior.
Yeah.
And another returning champion.
That's right.
Yes.
Lee Hansen.
Thank you.
Former school board member, retired captain from the United States Navy, and the first female wing commander in the Navy. And a wife of Butch Hansen, who is
exactly.
also a regular and a former sub commander. Okay, so let's start with the obvious one, because Josh, I know you've been waiting all week for this. I know you. You know, we have you on a regular schedule now.
That's right.
And so you knew you were coming in early.
That's right.
And I knew you'd want to talk about why Kamala Harris picked the semi-folksy appearing Midwestern football coach geography teacher with a military record as opposed to
technically
the Jew.
You know, and I think I'm going to...
For context...
Well, I am Jewish.
For context, yes. You know, Josh is Jewish
right.
In his background. And also the governor of Pennsylvania,
right.
who was considered for the job, Shapiro. Josh Shapiro.
Right.
You may recognize that as a Jewish name because he is a Jew.
I may.
And they decided not to go with the Jewish guy.
You know, I think I'm going to surprise you here, Andrew. I was never big on Josh Shapiro other than the Jewish element.
And the great name.
I try not to buy into identity groups or affinity groups, you know. So I wasn't going to root for him just because he was Jewish. As you know, my first choice was Pete Buttigieg.
Right.
But it was never going to be him, unfortunately. But I like the pick. I really do. And I think that I think it's very defendable. I think he's very folksy, like you said. Big Springsteen fan. You know, we can all relate to that. But he seems to have implemented, and look, I didn't know this.
Honest opinion. Did she cave to the pro-Palestinian element in the Democrat Party?
That. Where is the evidence of that? I mean, this guy
She didn't pick Shapiro. There's the evidence.
I think that's the obvious evidence.
At best. I think that he has enacted progressive policies in a workable way. I mean, we always say, Democrats like myself always say, we would love, you know, 12-week maternity leave. We're pro-weed, all this stuff. Well, he has actually done that stuff. And if Fox News is going to call those positions extreme, I think it's to their detriment because most people are in favor of those things.
He is very much a fit for her. If the vice president is gain a state you didn't already have and represent an echo of the policies— I mean, he is every bit as liberal as she is.
Right.
And he's very smooth.
He is. He's a great speaker.
People think, oh, my God, he's great. But then you look at his record, and for me, it's offensive.
I'll follow up on that in just a second. I think that I'm excited to be a Democrat for the first time in years. I'll say that. I don't like Kamala.
I perceive that among my Democrat friends. I perceive it online. Yeah. The fundraising shows that.
Yes.
There's an excitement about that you didn't realize it was going to be possible for you to have.
Correct. I would be parading in the streets if it was Buttigieg, but I really like this guy. So
what kind of parade?
I knew you'd pick up on that. So what's offensive?
His military record is really offensive to me.
Okay.
As a military person, to find that he actually made a contract to go to an advanced school and then canceled that when he was told that his unit was going to be deployed, that's offensive.
Okay.
You have a senior enlisted military person who, when his unit needed him, decided, I'm going to go ahead and retire, despite the fact that I pledged that if you sent me to this school and gave me this education, I would be then serving. That's offensive to people who serve in the military.
Because it's not just in that role that he left. It's that he left his unit in a diminished capacity.
Correct.
Right before they were getting ready
senior
to go to deploy.
Senior enlisted guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really important role. Yeah.
And this is something he's been criticized for years by people in that unit, right?
Right.
They are also saying that this is, you know, and so the question of the, you know, I think you could overlook the weapon I carried into war. I mean, that's an embellishment. Yeah. I don't like it. But that's kind of small language potatoes in the grand scheme of, well, what was the actual record? And, you know, the perception from civilians a lot of times is that people take positions like in the National Guard, figuring that that's their cheap way to get something without having to give so much.
Right.
And I think that's a false perception, but this story confirms that perception of people, which is really unfortunate, I think, generally for National Guard members as well.
Right.
Policy-wise, otherwise, I agree with you. My biggest concern in watching the candidates that she was considering is that they all show better than she does. And they all have the risk of outshining her, whether it's Mark Kelly or Josh Shapiro or Tim Walz, that these are all polished, capable, experienced politicians. And Kamala Harris just doesn't do well a lot of times. Especially, this is why she hasn't been doing interviews. She hasn't been doing pressers.
Exactly. And she has a lot of people covering for her.
Yep.
And I would say the press is on her side, shall we say, as well as all the social media. So she has reinvented herself in the last 2 weeks. It's like she went from being the least popular person ever to being this shining example of our future, and we're not going back. You know, I mean, that, it's really interesting to watch.
And the money that is being dumped into TV by her campaign. Yeah. You know, I watch the Olympics and every other ad.
Oh, yeah.
Every other ad is
rebranding.
And isn't
it interesting that she's running for exactly the things that her policies have been against? So she's running for an economy that works for working people. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a second now. And she wants to you know, make sure that people only have to work one job. Well, wait a second. You know, it's your administration that has increased, you know, the cost of everything. Mm-hmm. And not done anything about it. In fact, the things that they have done have actually hurt working people. And yet she's running as if she's an outsider, not the person that's in the current administration.
We're going to change.
Right.
Okay, Josh, I'll give you the last word on this. Are you excited because of the excitement? Or are you excited because you really genuinely believe deep down that Kamala Harris is a great president in waiting?
No, I don't believe Kamala Harris is a great president in waiting, but I also haven't gotten swept up in the sort of online fandom that she has cultivated. I'm just excited that Joe Biden dropped out.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'm ecstatic about that. And I was, as you know, I was going to sit this election out as like a protest. And now I'm slightly looking forward to voting for the Democratic ticket, mainly because of Tim Walz.
All right, I said last question, but last quick one before we take a quick break. In terms of executive capability,
sure.
Okay, I know policy wise, and I know kind of ideology wise where you fall, but in terms of executive capacity, if I give you Nikki Haley versus Kamala Harris,
sure.
I know you probably wouldn't ever vote for Ron DeSantis, but you know, for other reasons. But if I put Nikki Haley up against you being a representative of a certain slice of the Democratic Party, if I put Nikki Haley up against Kamala Harris, where do you go?
I would vote for Nikki.
Okay,
honestly,
and I think a lot would.
If it wasn't Trump and it wasn't DeSantis on the Republican side, if it was Nikki Haley, I would vote Republican.
I'm also
for the first time ever, I'll say.
Also, on behalf of Democrats everywhere, I want to say one thing that I said the other day that I still believe is true. I'm just thrilled the Democrats are finally giving an old white guy a chance in politics. It's time.
I know.
It's time.
Amen, it's time. Brother.
He's not that old.
Right. He's only a year older than her.
Right.
I love the online meme of, this is why you don't ever teach public school. Anyway, John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. Everything's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access. A new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. As your county commissioner, Jeff has worked tirelessly on behalf of the people of District 1 and Escambia County. On August 20th, re-elect the neighbor you know and the name you trust. Re-elect Jeff Burgosh. Read all of Jeff's endorsements, testimonials, and his strategic plan for District 1 at jeffburgosh.com. Keep leadership that delivers.
Paid for by Jeff Burgosh, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
I'm Ashley Hoffberger, Republican candidate for Escambia County Commissioner, District 4. I am the only candidate with endorsements from our county first responders. It's unanimous. The people who lay it on the line every day to protect us. Our professional firefighters, our law enforcement, and our EMTs believe I am the best choice for County Commissioner, District 4. I'm Ashley Hoffberger, and I am asking for your vote on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Ashley Hoffberger, Republican candidate for Escambia County Commissioner, District 4.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi neighbors, I'm Colton Wright, your current Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Public safety has always been my first priority, and I've made sure our sheriff's deputies have the pay and equipment they deserve. I've worked hard to improve our roads and infrastructure, improve our parks, supported Whiting Field, and I brought new jobs to our area. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships that benefit all of Santa Rosa County. Please re-elect me, Colton Wright, on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Colton Wright for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 5.
And the law says, bust the deal, face the wheel.
Bust the deal and face the wheel.
Bust the deal, face the wheel. Hey, 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. A couple of friends in here in studio for the wrap. We got Lee Hansen, a retired captain in the United States Navy and a former pilot. And also we have Josh Newby, who is the executive director of the Council on Aging. Switching now more to your domain, Lee. Man, big stories in the last week. The prisoner swap with Russia, the temporarily on the table and then yanked off the table by Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, deal for not the death penalty for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed over the 9/11 attacks, and then unrest in the Middle East. Pick your target. Where do you want to go?
Boy, I tell you what, I really enjoyed your stories about the McCool.
Oh, thank you. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I always, whenever I'm doing stuff like that, I'm always like spider sense aware of all the Navy people who are listening and
sure.
thinking, God, don't screw this up. Don't screw this up. Don't say something stupid.
Every
you know?
Time you say floor, we say deck. Every time you say wall,
there's
we
a wall, you say bulkhead.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
Can you resolve something for me? I occasionally will get text, stop calling it a boat, Andrew. It's a ship.
But you know, here's the deal. Technically, it's a ship. Aviators like to call them boats because that
aggravates.
Thank you for the word. Aggravates the folks who are on the boats.
I gotcha. Okay. So I'm inadvertently siding with the aviators. Okay.
Yes.
So I should try to, because they say captain of the boat. They say bosun.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah. Oh, boatswain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to check. And I wanted to make sure.
I'm going
to see how far off.
Boats.
Because it seems to me like it's a boat until it's big enough, and then it's a ship, and then it's big enough where it doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah. call it what you will. Yeah. Right.
Anyway, of those topics, KSM, the Middle East, or
boy, I tell you what, it just seems like the world is in chaos. And my only reaction to the prisoner swap was, well, now they know how to get us. You know, I mean, if you start playing this game, guess what's going to happen? There are going to be more prisoners. You know,
but what choice
was
there?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's very frustrating to see that kind of thing happen. I mean, I'm very happy for the people that were released.
Absolutely.
Because clearly they were not. They shouldn't
pawns.
Have been.
They were absolutely pawns.
They were absolutely pawns. And so to know that. Not that I would necessarily go to Russia to, you know, do anything, but good Lord, you know,
And Biden's answer when asked the question is, what's your advice to people? And he's like, well, just don't go to dangerous areas. We're going to...
Well,
but
they're
a journalist,
everywhere.
It's every area.
Right.
And we're going to... Like, all of a sudden, Americans just aren't going to go to Russia?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
The thing I said on the air at the time was, I grew up with the belief that I could go anywhere in the world, entitlement though you may call it, and it is, I can go anywhere in the world and the United States government will back me up, protect me, and rescue me if there's a problem. And that's a great amount. And we just can't say that anymore.
No. Because there are still prisoners over there.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't get everybody, but we got some people. And
We traded pawns for bishops. I mean,
oh my gosh.
It's, you know, Putin's a chess player and he won in the exchange, clearly.
Absolutely.
But again, what's the, I mean, you got a journalist. I mean,
I know.
What's the solution?
I know.
Well, I mean, you know,
I mean, he was
I'll give
what,
you the answer Trump
years?
Would give is, you know, put a better person in charge of negotiating.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, and
I disagree. It's,
you don't think anybody could have pulled it off better?
But apparently he did during his administration.
Yeah.
So.
What about the danger in the Middle East? This is. It seemed like we might have been on the verge of really bad things and nothing really came of it.
Yet.
I mean, but we are, I mean, it seems like every day, right? We're at that place. I mean, we have, you know, young men and women riding ships in the Middle East, patrolling the straits and keeping peace in a world that is extremely unstable in that part of the world, right?
Yeah, I'm worried, and this is where I obviously differ from my Democrat friends. I'm worried for Israel, for the future of Israel. And I will say that that is sort of the one reservation I have about a future Democratic presidency is, you know, I care deeply about Israel. I care deeply about the Jewish people. I want those protections maintained. Mm-hmm. But the pro-Palestinian contingent is strong.
The thing that
Are pro-Israel Democrats and Jewish Democrats not always the same thing, right? How open to movement across the aisle are they? Because it seems to me like the embrace of the pro-Hamas, at least pro-Palestinian part of the Democratic Party is pretty complete right now.
It would never make me vote. That issue, it's not an effective wedge issue in that it would successfully make me vote Republican.
Okay.
I'm not Orthodox Jew, though, you know,
right.
So maybe I don't have as strong a position on that. But all the protests at the colleges months ago really, really bothered me.
Okay.
Yeah, what bothers me is that you had relative peace until Hamas came over the line.
Right.
And so you have all these people saying, well, Israel needs to, you know, slow down. Don't do this.
Right.
Like, well, wait a second. You know, we didn't start this.
Right. The line I always use is there was a ceasefire.
Right. There was a ceasefire.
Right. That's a good point.
Exactly. Yeah. And it had lasted a while,
yes.
Even though it was tentative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But good grief.
I know. It's sad.
And I think the people that are protesting don't actually understand the situation.
You think?
I really look at them and I think, you know, can you find Gaza on the map? Probably not.
I think some. I think some can, but I think they've been. They've internalized such a narrow slice of information over and over and over again that it's a weird way to say it. But I think they've been radicalized the way you know, terrorists successfully radicalize people or cults radicalize people. They have been radicalized through very aggressive and selective misinformation, social media.
Yeah, and the irony is that they're saying that the Jews are committing genocide. Like,
well, it's,
excuse me.
Jews are white and Palestinians are brown.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Well, yeah. On,
coded white. Yeah.
Oh.
Let's take a quick timeout. John Pickens got traffic on the fives, and we'll come back to this.
No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Super quick. All right.
I know.
Okay, so we just yesterday, I don't say we, the community and several very, you know, significant donors just opened the Tiny House Village, the Fresh Start Village. Wonderful project. Kids who, you know, it's the kind of problem you didn't think about until they mentioned it. You're like, oh, God, that's obviously a problem when people age out of foster care. It's housing supply, 7 houses. It's not a big number, but it's a number. It's a non-zero number. It's clearly people who benefit tremendously from it. They're already all occupied. Thoughts about this project? And all done privately. The only public involvement was because the county won't do tiny houses, annexation. The city had to pass a tiny house ordinance and annex the property in order to make it possible.
But my 22nd elevator pitch here, because I advocate on this front for elder adults, is that the county needs to get off their butt and adopt the policies that the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee has suggested for the past 2 years. Specifically, incentive E, which calls for a tiny house ordinance in the county. I don't know why they won't bring it to the agenda. It needs to happen.
Well, the commissioners have decided they don't want it. Maybe they're getting some people with NIMBYism or whatever, but this is clearly such a win. I think it's going to put pressure on them to say yes. I hope.
I agree. And I would say the other thing is that there are so many regulations that keep people from renting out rooms, renting out their garage apartments, that it's you know, decreasing the number of spaces available. In the olden days, people were lodgers.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. Right.
Lee, Josh, thank you so much. By the way, our exclusive interview with Jonathan Owens is up on the podcast page. If you want to check that out, or the Gosh Texts.
Stream us at News Radio.